When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776, the number. So what do we got to talk about today, everybody? I can only imagine. I know what you want to talk about. How did the Islanders blow that 3-0 lead? That's got to be the lead, right? No, of course not. Listen, it's this... I've kind of like been trying to figure out the best way to put what happened last night. And I've had several opportunities to do it. And I feel like I keep failing each time. I mean, the first out of the gate on a post-game show is very difficult when something like that happens, because with 30 seconds to go in my brain, I'm already trying to analyze a loss. And then mayhem happens, and now you're trying to figure out everything that happened, including the potential of a foul, the timeout, what the hell were they doing, meaning the Sixers, and then of course just what an incredibly resilient team this continues to be, and why are we surprised? But still, it's hard to put all that stuff to words quickly when they're counting you down saying you're going live. It's not easy with that kind of a turn of events. And so the more I think about it, the more I feel like the best thing to say is simply this. There are moments for every team, no matter what market, but there are just moments in a playoff run where it gives you a sign. You know, like something's going on here. It's a moment that kind of tells you this might be different than other years. Something special might be brewing here. Last night, clearly, one of those moments. Last night was something that you will talk about years to come. That last night was something that will be referenced forever. Last night was, if you were in the building, something that you will say, I was there. Last night was something that, when you're old like me and they show it back and you've got somebody younger around you or maybe even your own kids one day, you're going to say, that was amazing. I saw that live. I couldn't believe it. Last night was just something that might tell you that something special, just like in those other years, just like Dean the Dream against the Celtics. Some of the old heads remember that. Here comes Willis, everybody remembers. Bernard King against the Pistons with broken fingers. Hubert Davis, of course, getting the foul. Hugh Hollins, Ewing's putback against the Pacers. Allen Houston's running jumper! LJ in the four-point play. This is all together. Starks the dunk. Things you'll remember forever.
Brunson double team, splits the defense. Lowry takes it away, picked up by DiVincenzo. 8 on the 24, DiVincenzo, corner to Brunson. Sidestep, three-pointer, shot, it's good! Took the bounce and went in. Two-point game. Ball knocked loose, and Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away, out top to DiVincenzo, his shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
The double bang. Ultimate call from Mike Breen. No one better on the mic in that moment at the Garden on MSG Networks than him. No one you wanted more on that call than him. What the Knicks did last night, think about it just from a historic perspective. I'll get to the 2-0 deficit. I'll get to all the other stuff. There's a lot to break down from this. But the most important thing is obviously they get the win, right? An improbable one. But how rare is this? Because we all reference Reggie Miller. You know, like you want to have fun with it? Did this exorcise the demons from Reggie's 8 points in 8.9 seconds? Did it do that? Not quite. Not yet. Got to win that series. Remember, Reggie won the series with that. This, well, not won it. That was, it was early in the series, but it was 95. We all know what happened. But this was so rare of a comeback. This is what it was. In the last 25 years, no team has ever been down by 5 or more points with under 30 seconds to go in regulation and won the game in regulation. It had happened 3 other times where a team came back but won in overtime. They tied it, forced overtime. The most recent, 2015, Steph Curry against the Pelicans in the first round hit 2 threes to tie, and they went to overtime, and then the Warriors won. That's according to the Elias Sports Bureau. That's not me. So no team had ever done it in regulation. The Knicks did it in regulation. First time in no team in 25 years has done something like what you saw last night. So there's your historical perspective of what happened. That's why, and I told you this yesterday, when people tell you it's just one win, it's the first round win a series, and all that silly stuff that wet blankets like to do to suck the joy out of you having fun when your team does something significant. Now at least you can respond, what happened last night was historic. So you should enjoy it, take it in. I mean, again, hearing Mike Breen on that call, just the way he called that, it was epic what happened. Epic. And that is why when you see that on top of the fact, like this wasn't just out of their ass kind of play. You know what I mean? This wasn't just like some lucky play. We've seen some great moments. I mean, David Lee tipped a pass from out of bounds with a tenth of a second on the clock. I have a picture of it in my office. I'm in the photo in the front row as a beat writer. David Lee's hand is up. It's an the only way he could score. Tips it in at the buzzer with 1/10 of a second left, a loss turning into a win. You're writing as a writer the lead about a loss because you're like, there's no way anybody's scoring here. That's the most improbable play ever. The Knicks' chances of winning were down to 4%, I believe, in that game. Almost nil. And they won the game. But the David Lee play was in the middle of the regular season, and the team wasn't very good. It was an incredible play. Incredible. Jamal Crawford in 06 hit an unbelievable catch it in the air and then shoot it, buzzer beater in Denver. I covered that one too as a beat writer. Mind-blowing regular season game. You know, Stephon Marbury took it coast-to-coast against the Jazz. Layup, buzzer, run off the floor. Regular season. Those are great moments. They're incredible moments. But this is a playoff game. This was, you were inches from being 1-1 in the series, going to Philly with this fear that, you know what? This team could lose this series. Because Embiid had been, for 3 quarters, the most dominant player on the court. Maxey was a blur. The Knicks are struggling to guard both of these men. And your star, Jalen Brunson, remains on the struggle bus, driven by Kelly Oubre. And you have to figure out how to get him going. So the fact that for 2 games, your star was not the best player on your team. He has struggled. But other people have stepped up. And you're 2-0. Well, now you're in the driver's seat. Because now you got 2 days to watch film and get your guy going. Can they figure it out? All that remains to be seen. But what you saw last night was history. And that's the kind of history that can fuel a run. Because that's all we've been talking about. Well, can the Knicks go on a run? Can they go on a run? And it's like, you got to see. How's it going to go? Do they have it in them to go on a run? And these are the kinds of games, whether it was Josh Hart making 3 threes in the 4th quarter of game 1, which is improbable, although he made another 4 threes last night. But it's like that and then this ending, 27.4 seconds to go, and you turn a 5-point deficit into a one-point lead. Then you get the stop, which let's not forget about the Hartenstein block. Then you get the rebound, which is the most important, of course. Anunoby then stoically goes to the line, cold-blooded, 6 seconds to go, got to make them both, sinks them. Let's not overlook things like that. Like, we take those things for granted. But that block by Hartenstein, when Maxey looked unstoppable. And Hartenstein got him. And then OG got the rebound. And then made the free throws. And then we could debate, should they have fouled? You're up three. They need a three. Do you foul? Do you not foul? They don't. And Embiid clanks a 25-footer. And now all of a sudden it's a 2-0 lead for the Knicks going to Philadelphia. These Villanova guys, man, something that they have done as they came together. Like, this was first Brunson shows up. Then Hart shows up in a trade. Now all of a sudden, you got some buddies, roommates, guys who won championships together in college. Put them together. And then they bring in DiVincenzo, another buddy. They won championships together. And now all of a sudden, this culture starts to form between the three of them that they already had built into them with Jay Wright and Villanova. You know, Tom Thibodeau's done a great job with this franchise. He and his coaching staff have been phenomenal in building this up to where they are. But you'd be remiss not to give Jay Wright his flowers. Jay Wright's fingerprints are all over this Knicks success because the foundation of all of this was built at Villanova. It has been brought to the NBA, and it was brought to the Knicks, a franchise that desperately needed this type of an identity to come back. That's what these guys have brought. And the best thing about it is, as you know, positive energy generally draws positive energy. And these guys together had that. And others saw the chemistry, just the way they were together. And you're on the outside going, I want to be part of that. I want to be like that. I like this. So you saw the outside, whatever they are, the fringe players, all came in. Deuce, Hartenstein, all the different players who saw them, and you're attracted to it. And that's where it went. It's like negative energy, too. You get enough negative energy on a team, it can certainly permeate a team. Positive energy is the same thing. Which is the more dominant force, the negative energy or the positive energy? On the Knicks, those three Villanova guys, that was positive energy. And that's why they are the way they are. And that's why they're up 2-0. That's why, when you see what happened last night, I keep coming back to the same thing. There are moments in a playoff run that give you a sign. Moments that tell you something special is brewing here. And last night was one of those moments. 800-919-3776 is the number. Now, on the other side, conversely, you're always going to get this. The opponent, who again felt like they had a chance to win the game, certainly feels robbed and everything else. And then there's Joel Embiid, who has to say what he said last night. And I don't blame him for saying it. It's absolutely the right thing to say, because if you don't, that locker room is already devastated. You have to put up a defiant front and believe that despite being down 2-0. And the stats will tell you also, you know, history's history. These are different bodies in the same uniform. So you can't say that this all plays out. But this is just history. The Sixers have never won a playoff series when trailing 2-0. They have been around for 80 years, 100 years. They've been around forever. The Sixers have never won a playoff series when trailing 2-0. 0-14. Meanwhile, the Knicks, when leading a series 2-0, they're 10-2. Now, we remember when I mentioned Starks the dunk, that was one of them. They were up 2-0. We all know Michael Jordan finally shook the cobwebs out of his nights in Atlantic City and turned that series around quickly. And, of course, Charles Smith goes from the positive, right, memory to the negative one in that game five. 800-919-3776. So Joel Embiid has to say what he said after the game. And if anybody thinks this series is over, I'm telling you it is not.
No, so, you know, we're good. We're going to win this series. You know, we're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
We're the better team, and he also said, we're going to win this series. A little Mark Messier there for you, right? We will win. He's got to say this, doesn't he? But when you look at it on face value, his team around him, while he and Maxey were phenomenal offensively, phenomenal. And there were times they looked scarily unstoppable at times. Embiid, his that 15-20 footer, you know, that I should say the 10-15 footer, hits the rim and dies and just falls right in. An incredibly soft touch, shooting touch for a big man. He's not going in the post as much. He will draw fouls on you because he's crafty and he's strong. But he failed to get a rebound in the fourth quarter for the second straight game. Major issue for him. You see him limping and dragging that leg. He's given his team all they have, but he doesn't have a lot. You have to withstand early in a game. But it's later in the game where you can see the impact of the conditioning and the knee and whatever other excuses they're going to make. They are really riding with him as far as they can take it. I don't know how far he can take them. Maxey, though, is a blur. Gets to the basket whenever he wants. Remember I told you he was sick? They had him, it's questionable, with an illness. He talked about how he didn't want to take any medicine. He doesn't like taking medicine, but he did whatever he was told because he was not going to miss this game. Whatever that medicine was, you should take it every game. He started out the game making three threes in a row. He had the Knicks on their heels again. It was, you know, again, as far as offense goes, they were getting whatever they wanted. The Knicks adjusted, got better, got tougher. The Knicks bigs had to stop being so, what's the word, nice to Embiid. I felt like in the first half, they were a little too respectful. Maybe a little too, not intimidated, but sort of just concerned about playing him physical. They have to play him physical. It got better in the second half. Hartenstein was tremendous in the second half of this game. 7-for-7, 14 points. Grabbed a ton of rebounds. Big block, obviously, on Maxey that I mentioned to you. But before I get to the calls, let's now get to what happened at the end. Because this has been a big debate now. So I want to point out something that in the NBA, I think it really does work in all sports. And this is why coaches are big on conditioning, why they want players who are aggressive, who are feisty, who are workers. Because when you are the hustle team, when you're the aggressive team, when you're the team that is flying around all the time, nonstop, what you do is not only put pressure on your opponent, you put pressure on the officiating. That's what the Knicks did. Did they get away with some things late in that game in the last 30 seconds? You could argue they did. We'll find out if the NBA says they did. The Sixers certainly believe that they did because they've already filed a grievance, according to Tim Bontemps of ESPN, with the NBA about the officiating in the first two games. Filed a grievance. Now, they're not protesting the finish of the game. That's not what this is. You know, the game is the game. It's over. The grievance is just to just make the league aware that we're unhappy with how things have gone the first two games of this series. That's essentially what the grievance is about. It's, I think, and I know Wally Szczerbiak said this on the post game last night, it's like a tactic, like Phil Jackson would do this, to distract attention away from the team and draw attention to the officiating. The series is moving to Philadelphia. So you know you're going to get the crowd, the emotions, all the stuff that some, not all, officials get caught up in. And so that's why they did that. But when it comes to the end of this game, let's go through it frame by frame. Because the mistakes were made mentally by the Sixers. Some of their preparation or lack thereof was exposed. And yes, the Knicks got away with a couple of things as well. All that stuff comes together into a cocktail that delivers a comeback that is historic. On the play that it begins, first of all, DiVincenzo hustles to what could have been a turnover on a drive. Right away, with 15 seconds to go, the game could have ended there because he did lose the ball. But he doesn't hesitate, and his Villanova blue blood, his instincts are get that ball back, which he does, snatches it. Then he finds Brunson in the corner. Brunson relocates just enough to give himself a look from three. He was 0 for 5 from three before that shot. He was a mess in this game shooting-wise. We'll get to that later because they've done a great job on him. But this time, the ball hits the front of the rim, and rather than fall short, it goes straight up. And I'm telling you, I was in the tunnel. Carmelo Anthony, John Starks, Latrell Sprewell, we're all sitting together on the baseline. I'm telling you right now, all of their spirits touched that ball and knocked it in. How else does that ball go in? Tell me how else that ball goes in. Those three guys are together. It's like, you know, they came together like Voltron, whatever you want to call it. Somehow, some way, they assembled, and that ball, instead of going out, went in. Starts there. Miracle shot. Drops in. People were thinking this game's over. Lowry missed a free throw moments before that would have made it six. Instead, it was five. He hits that. Now it's two. There's still 13 seconds to go. They try to inbound. I'm sorry. There's more than 13 seconds to go. There's 20, whatever. They inbound the ball, which they shouldn't have done. Kyle Lowry's been in the league for almost 20 years. He picks the basketball up. Makes no sense. What are you touching the ball for? Let your team get set first. They don't start. The official will pick the ball up. He will not start counting until you turn with the ball. His back is to his players. The Sixers don't know what to do. They're bunched up on the free throw line. Maxey tries to put his arm up, use his length against Brunson, but it's a bad pass. Brunson tips it just enough. Maxey goes to get it. Now, before all this happens, I should point out, Maxey shoves Josh Hart to get open. Shoves him. No call. Fine. Late in the game, you're not going to get that call, but it's a shove. When Brunson tips it, Hart recovers. As he recovers, Maxey lands with the ball in his hands, but it's not fully in his hands because Brunson disrupted it. But when he lands, Hart doesn't let him. Hart's chest hits Maxey's shoulder. Maxey now is off balance. There's your first option of a foul against the Knicks. The referee on the baseline is Courtney Kirkland. He's been a referee for a long, long time. He saw it, let it play on, decided not to call it. It was body contact. It did knock Maxey off balance. Maxey was not allowed to land, but that's one of those, play on. Maxey falls rather than holds his ground. As he falls, he loses the basketball. Nick Nurse is on the sideline, wants a timeout. But he's not giving you an Eric Spoelstra running on the floor and demand timeout, stomping your foot kind of thing. He's got two fingers together with a little T. Two fingers. Stephen A. Smith is on the sideline right there behind Nick Nurse. Mark Shapiro next to him, former ESPN executive, next to him. Shapiro's standing up. He's actually more demonstrative than Nick Nurse is at that time. True story. Referees aren't paying any attention to him. But then when Nick Nurse finally realizes I need a timeout and then slams his hands together in a T, John Goble, who is the veteran referee on the top, won't give it to him. Why? Because if you look at the ground, Maxey no longer has the basketball. It's out of his hands. Can't call timeout now. No possession. There's Sixer players like Lowry and Embiid who are standing there and they're ball watching, staring. Josh Hart doesn't ball watch. Josh Hart sees a basketball, and like Dante DiVincenzo did seconds ago, the Villanova blue blood, the instinct is get the ball. He gets it, tears it out of his hands, and now the craziness happens. And this is where you get Dante DiVincenzo open for a three, miss. Okay, that could have been their chance. He misses. Oh, no. Embiid boxes out Josh Hart rather than finding Isaiah Hartenstein, that's his guy, but Embiid can't move. So rather than seek out the other big, he just stands there. Hartenstein, not being blocked out, goes from the free throw line, dives in for an offensive rebound that was the epic offensive rebound of the night. By the way, the rebounding totals at that point were dead even. The Knicks in five games prior were plus 63 against the Sixers on the boards, and the Sixers said, we've got to fix that. They did until the end. That put the Knicks up one on the rebounding scale. Hartenstein kicks it out to OG. OG doesn't even hesitate. passes the ball. He finds DiVincenzo. And DiVincenzo resets his second shot, and this time he was making it. There was no chance he was missing that shot. Drills it. He wanted the ball back. And then the comeback was done at that point. Sixers wanted a timeout, didn't get it. They got it then, but they should have gotten it on the baseline before Lowry even touched the basketball. Could have advanced it. They did. They were not prepared for that moment. The Knicks, however, said they were because they practice scramble drills late in possessions. How do we get an open shot? What do we do? They already knew what to do. And then prepared for what the Sixers were going to do next. This is coaching, everybody. They knew it was going to be a pick and roll for Maxey. They knew Maxey would get downhill. Hartenstein knew he was going to have to switch. He knew exactly where he was going to go with the basketball. And he met him just in time and got a fingertip on that shot, blocked it away. More importantly, Anunoby got the second most important rebound of that game, which was right there. Hit the free throws, as we said, ice water. And that's it. So what the Sixers will complain about is the timeout. They'll also complain about a foul that could have been called on Josh Hart versus Maxey. I don't know what other fouls you'd be calling there. Unless you call one on Embiid for shoving Lowry in the back and Lowry ending up his own teammate on the baseline. But that's the one you could call possibly, but he also could have called Maxey pushing off on Josh Hart. Instead, let the players decide. And that's what happened. And what happened was the players who hustled more, the team that flies around, puts pressure not only on the opponent but on the officiating. There's too much going on. You can't call everything. The place is going nuts. And the head coach of the other team is using two fingers to call a timeout instead of making it clear how badly he wanted it. And by the time he did, the ball was no longer in the possession of his player. Those are all facts when you watch it back as slowly as I have this morning. And that's why the Knicks won this game. Pure hustle, pure heart, pure determination, pure resiliency. And that's what they've been all season long. And that's why moments like this give you a sign that something special could be happening with this group. All right, your calls are coming up at 800-919-3776. Let's hear from you. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
PanCan Purple Stride is the ultimate walk to help end pancreatic cancer. If you or a loved one has been affected by pancreatic cancer, Purple Stride is the event for you. Your participation and fundraising makes all the difference in advancing progress for patients. Join the movement on Saturday, April 27th at 9 a.m. at South Seaport, Pier 17. Register today at purplestride.org/New York. Once again, that's purplestride.org/New York.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. What just happened? That was the feeling of most Knicks fans last night as they rallied from down 5 with 30 seconds to go to steal game 2 against the Sixers. So, Josh Hart, what happened?
Not exactly sure what happened right before that, but obviously JB got a good look at a 3. We were able to knock that down. And then at that point, it's probably 15 seconds left. We're down 2. We got to be as physical as you can be to try to get a steal. And that's what we did. JB did a great job denying. Then we were able to get that steal, kick it out. And Tay was able to hit that shot. So it was crazy. It was hectic. But at that point, we have nothing to lose. We got to be as physical as we can. And, it panned out.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Inbound is knocked away by Maxey. Gets the ball back. Falls to the floor. Stolen by Hart. DiVincenzo three-pointer no good. Hartenstein the offensive rebound. He kicks it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo again. Knocks it down! Knicks lead! 13 seconds to go! Timeout Philadelphia!
My man Pat O'Keefe living his best life right now on the radio call. He and Monica McNutt on the final calls of that crazy possession that just turned what seemed like an inevitable loss into an improbable win for the Knicks. And we're asking this question today before we get to the calls, 800-919-3776. Because I've been asked this by many people, and I don't know how you answer it. The best playoff ending since. I think the most obvious thing is when you consider ending Allen Houston, 99, to eliminate the first eighth seed to eliminate a number one seed. Like, to knock off the Miami Heat in Miami on a play like that with 0.9 seconds. Like, that's an epic ending. That's a series winner, series clincher against the number one seed. Like, that is, to me, right there at the top. Now, you could say since because, well, let's be honest, there have not been many great endings and not many playoff games either, so not much to choose from. But I think the obvious answer is that one. People will talk about Larry Johnson's four-point play. That was a critical piece of that, but, Houston's ended a series. That's – I don't know how you top that. Ewing's putback put them in the finals, so Ewing's putback probably is number one. Houston's is got to be number two. This one might be number three. Might be. If you consider, again, it's obviously first round, only game two, right? So not the magnitude of those other two, but pretty epic when you think about it. All right, 800-919-3776. So I gave you what I have. I emptied the tank in that first segment on everything that I saw from last night. Now I want to hear from you. I want to know what you think. We got a lot of sound to play for you as well. The Philly side of this thing is hysterical when it comes to the call because one of my good friends who's on the broadcast in Philly jinxed it. And I heard it and I was like, oh, no. So we'll get to all that. The Brunson aspect, which is the major concern, of course, watching the go forward. A lot of other things that went on in the NBA last night. What an epic doubleheader last night between this game and then the end of the Laker Nuggets game, which also ended at the buzzer. Like, you talk about back-to-back epic games. That was a special night of basketball. All right, let's begin with Spike in St. Pete. Spike, how did you survive that game?
I'm telling you, this is elder abuse for me. Look, I wouldn't want to go out any other way. It's the best one since the Heat game. But I got to tell you something. you know how I break games apart and I watch games. It threw me back to when Kyle Lowry, who's been the biggest pain in the ass for anybody, playing in the Palestra with no air conditioning with Randy Foy against LaSalle or Temple with Jonathan. And that the basic fundamental stuff. First of all, you have to be prepared to think three plays ahead. OG Anunoby on the free throw line look like Kawhi Leonard. They look like they can take a nap up there.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you know,
right.
Those are going to get.
No emotion.
But the Villanova, I said to Larry after the game, you know how I always call after the game, and you used to call in from the car with Wally. Boy, we miss those, the nighttime bagels. But I said to him, I'm changing my will this morning and sending all my grandchildren to Villanova. This is unbelievable. There's something about playing with the same guys. Josh Hart, 48 minutes. He never loses a loose ball. Now, they roughed up Maxey, but Nick Nurse was way out of line. So it looked like his vision was blocked. You've got to be demonstrative. I don't know. I said before the playoffs, Alan, we've been talking basketball, you and I, forever. And I got to tell you something. You have to just look at the team. I said second round, six or seven games. I don't change my mind very often. But what I saw last night, and I sent you a message, this is what really gets to me, and I'd love for you to kick it around with your listeners. The six great combos in the league, you know who they are, LeBron and AD and Durant and Booker, and the only ones that are winning are the championship pair, Jokic and Murray. And we don't have that. We don't have that. But we're winning because players three through eight, most of the time will beat players one and two. Because look at the output, Alan. Look at the output. And if I told you, Embiid and Maxey got 60-some-odd points in both games.
They did everything.
We could have lost both those games.
You're getting nothing out of Buddy Hield. You're getting nothing. It's true.
Nothing.
You're just not getting it. And Buddy Hield's not really getting the basketball that much. Tobias Harris was better, but still, 10-9.
He's going to go down as one of the worst contracts ever. He's a good kid. He's from Long Island.
He is a good dude, and he's from a great family. And he's in a bad situation because he's got to defer, and that's not comfortable for him. But I'll tell you, there's one Sixer that doesn't want to go back to Philly and play the series. It's him. There's no way, because you know they're going to ride him. It's amazing. They'll blame him, and they'll ignore the fact that their MVP center didn't grab a rebound for two fourth quarters. And all he had to do was maybe get one, and the game's over.
Alan, they made a mistake. I have a friend, Buddha, from the Bronx. He's a big Sixer guy. And Buddha, they should have kept Jimmy Butler, but that's second best.
Yeah, but you know how that is. That was about they were afraid that Butler was going to, you know, take over a team. And you know, guys like Simmons and others were, you know, were cringing around him. And they got him out of there. And that was obviously a mistake, a huge mistake.
One last point. I love Tom Thibodeau. I was in favor of him. Mark Jackson was always being my heart. I grew up watching him at Malloy and whatever. But I'm just an old guy who's seen a lot, and I remember most of it. But the thing I want to tell all the fans listening and the diehard Knicks fans, set the bar high, because we're 3-8. We're the best team left in the playoffs. We are. We're deep, and we're interchanging these centers. And without quoting our favorite, UB Brown breaking down and boxing out, we're killing them off the boards. Look at the turnovers last night. No turnovers.
The best fundamental team in the playoffs. And that's the thing that you're hanging your hat on right now. Spike, thank you. Good to hear from you. It's a good point he makes, because, you know, this goes back to the 1A thing, Becky Hammond, right? Well, I mean, is Brunson kind of proving that right? Because he can't figure out this defense. I mean, they are locking him down. They are giving him a hard time. He has his every shot he takes is contested. He's off balance, all those things. But the reason why you can survive this stuff is because your 3-8 is excellent. The return of OG and return of Mitchell Robinson are incredibly valuable to this team, because it gives you the kind of depth that you need, where Thibodeau one game can play one like think about it. Deuce and Robinson closed game one. Dante DiVincenzo and Hartenstein closed game two. And nobody seemed to care. Like, you have the interchangeable parts. That's what it's about. So that's how you overcome where you have rely so much on a star to carry you. They're still going to need Brunson to figure it out. If they're going to get out of the series, he's got to figure it out. Has to. Justin in the Bronx. Justin.
Hey, Alan, what's up? Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I really just wanted to point out the importance of these Knick legends that were in attendance last night. And I hope the Knicks and the organization realize what that meant to the fans, because watching that game with my son, who's too young to understand what's even going on, but seeing Starks lose his mind, Alan, I had deja vu chills. It was unbelievable.
It's, you know what? I found it funny because I've seen, like, John has been doing that for years now, right? Like, him being emotional was something we saw as a player. So it was kind of cool. It was Melo to me that I was like, look at Melo. Like, that's what because, you know, Carmelo Anthony, and thanks, Justin. Carmelo Anthony has always kind of been the guy that he'll grin. You know, in games, he'll pump his fist and do that stuff when he makes a big shot. We've seen that before. But I've never seen him act like a fan like that. And this year he started to do it. And then in this game, I mean, he's like dancing. He's like hugging Starks. He's hugging Sprewell. They're hugging Brunson. Like, that kind of stuff is cool to see, because it just shows you, you know, like anything. Like, colleges have their alumni, and there's alumni are proud. And that's what you always want to have is, you know, you're proud of the success now. I was here, and now we're still great. You know, that's the type of thing. Knicks haven't really had much of that, right? Like, we know this. They just haven't had that much of it. And when in the 90s, as much as you did see, you know, Clyde's always around, but Clyde's calling the game. You have seen the Bill Bradley's, Dr. Dick Barnett, the Hall of Famer, Willis Reed would come to games, and you saw those guys would come, but they weren't like jumping up and down and pumping their fists. They were, you know, they were being very regal, as they are, and champion. So to see, like, we've never really seen something like this before, you know, where you got a bunch of guys who played. Tim Thomas was there in the baseline going crazy. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that was kind of funny to watch. All right, more of your calls coming up. 800-919-3776. We got a ton of calls to get to. This is your day today, Knicks fans, because I really know that you're going to revel in this, and you should, and I'll give you every opportunity to do it. It's me going solo once again today. We'll get Bart back tomorrow. NFL draft is later on. We do have other stuff to get into today, but this really does feel like something that we need to do together for the next couple of hours. So calls are continuing to go. We will stick with them. Stay with me. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, well, one more here. And Al Abdelnaby is a friend of mine. I love him, right? And he's on the call with Kate Scott in NBC in Philadelphia. They do the play-by-play, right? So this is them after Lowry's at the free throw line. Kyle Lowry's at the free throw line. He makes it a 5-point game. He's got one more free throw to go. And Ala's already got the Red Auerbach victory cigar lit.
Getting home court advantage by winning one of the two games on the road. Job done. Let's head down to the turnpike.
Lowry splits them. Stay tuned. Post-game live. It's going to be fun.
Oof. I love Ala. I don't know Kate personally, but she does a great job there. But that's that moment. And, you know, 13 seconds later, right? Like, it just how fast it turned. But honestly, who else didn't feel like that? I was at that moment. We're getting our heads ready for the postgame show. And in my head, I'm trying to think of, you know, because your opening comment is supposed to be something of, you know, an analytical response. And in my head, I'm trying to think of, okay, well, the obvious stuff are they have no answer for Maxey and then Brunson continues to struggle. Okay, you know, we'll just do like that. And I'm trying to think of things and back it up. And then, obviously, all hell broke loose. 800-919-3776. Back to the calls we go. Javier in Queens. Javi.
Han Solo, my man. Yo, you are in your bag today with the Voltron reference. I mean, it's a good day for us, huh?
Yeah, it is a good day. I stole that one from Dennis Morton. But, yeah, it's a good one.
Oh, all right. I'll give credit where it's due. Yep. So before I get to the Knicks, and I give you props, I want to give huge props to Pat O'Keefe and to Mona McNutt.
They've
done such a great job this year. And that call last night, incredible.
Yes. Phenomenal.
And I want to give you props for...
You good?
Hey, Alan, sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
I'm good. I want to give you props for, you know, calling out the Brunson potentially having two bad games in a row. I was very confident that he would go in there and do his thing, and he didn't. The Sixers, you know, they're doing their thing against him. But good call on that. I want to shout the Knicks out on is all five of those guys did something in the last minute. You know, every single one of them had a really important role, and they did their thing.
DiVincenzo
hit his shot. Mm-hmm. Brunson hit his shot. Hartenstein with the defense and the rebound. Hart with the defense, and OG with the free throws.
And the rebound. Can't forget that rebound. You block the shot. You can't stand and watch. OG made sure to get that ball off the block. That was huge, that play. Because how many times do you see it where you block a shot and because the big had to help, some other, like, you know, a little guard runs in and gets it and then puts up an easy layup because nobody's there? How many times that happened? It didn't because OG was there to get the rebound. That was a big, big play that gets overlooked.
So, Alan, I want to try one more time just for Brunson. It reminds me of when Torrey went to Atlanta after going 0-2 in the World Series. He told George, he said, Atlanta's my town. Don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of it. Philly's Brunson's town. You know what I mean? He's been down there. He's done his thing down
there.
All
three of them.
I feel good that this guy is such a star that he's just waiting to get down there and to really have that big game. Because I don't think they're going to hold him down the whole series. There's going to be a game where he explodes.
He
wins the game for the Knicks. And I think it's coming up really soon.
We'll see, Javi. I mean, he's got to. I mean, I know it's 2-0, but they can't win this series with him doing like first two games. The shooting numbers are awful. 16 of 55. He's 2 of 12 from three. This is not typical of him, but it's not that, oh, he's off or he's tired. It ain't he's tired. Their defense on him has kept him off balance. Legs are everything for him. His feet, his footwork, all of it. They're taking all that away. He's got to figure it out. Tony in Deer Park. Tony.
Alan.
What's up? You tell me.
So, listen, I'm still psyched about what happened last night. I just don't like the narrative that's being played like everywhere right now. Like, oh, did Philly, they lose the game because of the rest? They had their chances after. You grabbed that rebound. Well, you don't get blood. You had another chance at the end of the game. Like,
100%.
They had their shot to win.
It's like I said, the team that hustles harder generally puts the pressure not only on the opponent but on the officials. So that happens.
Yeah.
And if you're going to stand Lowry standing there watching as Maxey's on the floor where the ball is, Embiid just standing there with rebound, ability to get a rebound, but he can't move. Like, there were so many places. And then think about this. After the shot, the Brunson shot, you can't have guys bunched up together. No one knew what to do. That is a lack of preparation. They clearly were not prepared for that moment at all. That's clear. And then instead of recognizing that, your head coach has got to call a timeout. Don't inbound the ball. Let's take it at half court. He doesn't. You can't do that. You cannot do that. Ridiculous. They failed just as much as they got, and they did get screwed by some of the officials. You can argue that they could have gotten a call. You can make that argument, but
every
still.
Every team can make the argument, Alan.
Of course.
Every
absolutely.
Team can get screwed.
Absolutely. That's true, too.
But how great was that? How great was seeing the old Knicks on the side? Just what you guys were saying before, seeing Sprewell and Stark
yeah.
hugging.
No, that's great.
I mean, I got chills, man. Let's go.
It's good
let's
vibes.
Go.
Good vibes, Tony. Good vibes. Love the energy. Love it. Baritone in Queens. What's up, Baritone?
My Alan,
what's happening?
Before I want to say three things, but with Sprewell, a lot of people don't realize Sprewell and Starks were traded for each other, and they hugging years ago. That's just crazy.
That's a good point.
But Maxey, I want to piggyback what you said. A lot of people didn't see Maxey fouling hard and pushed off.
Yes,
but, you know, yeah, pushed off.
Yep,
and also. Yeah, LeBron James, please mind your business. Worry about you. Don't talk about the Knicks game. That's all I want to say. And Ragu, oh, man. He missed the first shot. And to have confidence to make the second shot? Oh, man, Alan.
Yeah, that's who he is. I love what he said. You know what? And Baritone, always good to hear from you, my man. Thanks for the call. I love what he said after the game. To Rebecca Harlow on the court, and the place is just absolutely bonkers, right? And as he's talking about, like, just the atmosphere and everything else, and the confidence in getting back into that shot, missing one, but just knowing, give me this thing back, I'm going to make this one. Like, that's just, again, you don't teach things like that. You develop that mindset, and I'm telling you that all that stuff is developed in Villanova, and it is thriving at the Garden.
I mean, it was huge. It was loud. It was loud as hell in there. And so after, honestly, after I missed the first one, I was really, 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 really hoping that Isaiah got it because I knew that, you know, the rotation of everything, I was going to get a second look. So thank God he got the offensive rebound.
And now, key point there is not only is him saying that, you know, he wanted the ball back, which, of course, again, any great player who believes in himself wants the ball. What he told you was, I knew I was getting it back because of the rotation. How would he know that? As I mentioned, Isaiah Hartenstein revealed this to Monica McNutt on the radio postgame when he said that, well, they practice scramble drills. They know exactly what to do. They practice this. That's a prepared team. So that's the difference. Sixers, not prepared. Knicks, prepared. I know everybody doesn't like to hear this, at least some of you. That's coaching. 800-919-3776. We will continue with your calls. Plenty more to get into. The draft come up in a couple of days. Zach Wilson finally traded. Dan Orlovsky had something to say about that and what the Jets did and how they handled him. Just, again, tons to get to here. The Rangers tonight, can they keep the magic going? That's 3 nights in a row. 3 days, I should say, because the Ranger game was a day game. 3 days in a row already at the Garden of some magic and excitement and the building just up for grabs. Can the Rangers make it 4 in a row tonight at the Garden? Meanwhile, the Islander thing, oh my God. I need someone because obviously I was working, but I was getting texts. My son was texting me like crazy, some other friends. I kept checking on my phone. What happened in Carolina needs to be explained to me because I'll let any Islander fan that wants to, you want to vent? Come and vent because I cannot believe what happened there. 800-919-3776, the second hour coming up. Han Solo with you on Barton Han. The road to the NBA Finals starts now, and new customers on FanDuel can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. You can bet on three-pointers made in a game, and I would always take the over with the Celtics. This is what they do. They had 22 out of 49 in game one. 22. They took more threes than they did twos in that game. Expect that trend to continue. Over-under in point totals, continue to take the under in this series between the Knicks and the Sixers. First basket score. Every time I say Brunson and every time so far in the first two games, hasn't made the shot. And Mork, just go to FanDuel.com/Allen to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 older, physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com for help with a gambling problem. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, it's one of the big questions of Thursday night's first round of the NFL draft. What are the New York Giants going to do? Will they trade up? Will they trade back? A quarterback, a wide receiver? Earlier this morning on DPHR and Rothenberg, guys asked Field Yates what the Giants going to do.
I, in my heart of hearts, believe the Giants' best course of action is to sit there at number 6 overall, and if J.J. McCarthy makes it to them, have a thoughtful conversation about whether you should take him and then obviously move on from Daniel Jones, most likely after this season, or if you just take Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze, who I think will be there waiting for them at pick number 6, because each of those players absolutely merits a 6th overall pick, I'd be all in on either of those wideouts at number 6.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.